Our reading for this Sunday is a beautiful one from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. And it can be found on page 1173. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening. Hello. Right, shall we? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us, and thank you for this scripture this evening. And Lord, we thank you that you delight in us. And Lord, I ask, as I speak tonight, would you speak through these words that we might know you more? Amen. So, good evening. For those of you who don't know me, I think I probably know quite a lot of you, but I'm married to Dave, and I've got three children, Lucy, Edmund, and Peter. And as I mentioned when I spoke before, I won't be having a Susan, if you can work that out. No, three is my magic number. So I love this bit of passage, and I think if I'd been asked to read it, I might possibly have cried, so thank you, Lisa. So today is Stir Up Sunday, and I didn't want to miss out on the opportunity of bringing a prop. So I've brought my mixing bowl, as those of you know that I like cooking. But I hope today, as we study this passage, it might stir up our hearts and our minds that we might want to know Jesus more. So that's the end of my visual aids. I can forget about it now. So this passage in Ephesians is written by Paul. And just to give you a kind of sense of where it fits in, it was written about 60 to 61 years AD. And thought to have been written while Paul was in prison. It's called one of the prison epistles, and which included Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. And in Acts 19, we see that Paul went to the church in Ephesus and he spoke there, and he was probably there for about 2 years. And he first spoke in the synagogue, and then he received some opposition, so he moved to somewhere else. But it says that in Acts 19 that he planned on moving to Jerusalem. But when you look at a map, it's amazing how much travelling Paul did. But it's thought that his strategy, once having been in the church, was to follow up with either a visit by himself or by a fellow worker. And it's thought that this particular letter was sent by Tychicus, and it was spoken to the local churches, that, and then finally finished up in the church in Ephesus. So that's the setting. Now I want to tell you a story. This summer we went on holiday to Spain, and I think probably this story might resonate with some of you, but we were very fortunate to have our own pool. And every morning, everybody would get up at different times. And it was quite warm, but I would come out and there would be somebody in the pool, maybe a child or maybe a parent, but they would say, "It's all right once you get in." And so I would say, oh, I'm not quite sure. And they go, no, it's really fine once you get in. And I'd start off, and I'm sure you can all relate to this, that you put your foot in, and you go, yeah, maybe, not quite sure. And they're still telling you that it's fine. And, you know, then I'd get up to my knees, and I'd still think, oh, I'm not quite sure. And they'd still be saying, it's fine once you get in. And eventually, and it's taken me years to realise that if I go for it, and shoulders in, under, and I start moving, then I stay warm, and it is, they're right, it's all right once I'm in. And then the next person comes out to the pool, and the same dialogue happens again, that you say, it's really fine once you get in. Actually, it's freezing, they don't know that. And, you know, and the whole thing happens again. But I've got to find where I am now. As I prepare for this talk, I just kind of thought that this passage in the Bible, I began to think of this passage, and for some of us, getting deep in the Bible is actually quite scary, and committing even scarier. But in this letter, Paul tells of his deepest desire for the church and for those people. He doesn't want them just to paddle, he wants them to swim. And this letter is written by a man who'd had an amazing conversion, and he'd gone on to be an evangelist and a teacher. And so it's no wonder that this prayer that we're reading is so heartfelt. He's speaking to a church he's seen grow from just a few people, and he's seen lives changed. And it wouldn't be unreasonable to think that he felt really strongly about the church here. And as I was beginning to read the chapter, the bit before this chapter, it's so encouraging, because Paul's talking about God's immeasurable blessings for us. And he reminds the church they've been chosen and forgiven, and the inheritance they have through Jesus and through Christ's death on the cross. But as you move in that scripture, there's just some hidden gems. That's the word Lisa used last week. Just really quickly as we start in that scripture. In the first few verses, Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. And how encouraging is it to know that he's positively glowing about them? And how often do we start our prayers with a moan or a prayer request or a list of wants? Not in themselves a bad thing, but sometimes we need to remember the importance of order. Do we give thanks for our family, for our children, leaders or friends? And the list goes on for all that we could be thankful for. But and the other words that spoke to me, just again in the first few verses, that he keeps on asking. Paul says, I keep on asking. What an amazing role model for those. In just those few first few verses, how often do we ask and then not ask again? I know I'm guilty of praying a prayer and then not praying about it again. Some of you may have read a book by Mark Batson called The Circle Maker, and he writes different books for the church and for families. But he talks about the persistently praying for things, and essentially actually praying in a kind of walk, but just persistently praying for things, whether it's family or church or work. I'm going to tell you another story now. My dad goes off every morning for a walk, and he's done it for a long time. And he walks in a circular walk around where my parents live. And we all know that when he goes for a walk, he prays. And when we all go to visit, we do the same walk. And it's not the most exciting walk, but we do it. And it came up in conversation one day that my dad had... I know I've forgotten to put it into this story. That my dad had knocked a tree down. And the tree had fallen down. I had forgot to add that bit. The tree had fallen down, and so on his walks, he kicks the tree, and the tree is rotten and damp and, you know, decomposing. But he walks every day, and in this time, he's kicked through it. And my parents have lived in this house for 27 years, so you can see where I'm coming from. That in his prayer walk, he's prayed persistently, and as time has gone on, he's prayed persistently for different things. And he's kicked through the tree. And when I told him that I was going to include that story, he said, I've got two trees now. But he's just kicked through it. And I love that he prays for me and my family. But I also think that it's just amazing. He's created a habit that he's kept on doing, and he's seen it. And the analogy of knocking through the tree is really just reminds us that we just need to keep persisting. So, yeah. But as we continue on in this passage... I've just been drawn to three points. You've had two little ones and three big ones now, bigger ones. But the first of those points is Paul's heart in verse 17. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you might know him better. Now, any relationship benefits from time spent with another person. I'm not going to know Helen more if I don't choose to cultivate a relationship with her. And just like when I trained as a nurse, I knew the basic principles, but actually with practice, with experience, I grew in my knowledge. We have a Heavenly Father, and the word Heavenly Father is used to reveal that we have a Father who loves us, who desires to know us, and he's willing to answer our prayers. Let's come before him with a desire to know him better, and that for that relationship to transform us and impact us. In Jeremiah 33, the Lord says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things." What an amazing promise that is if we call to him. But it might seem a little overwhelming but we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and who wants to give us good gifts, just like a father wants to give good gifts to his children. I know that is my hunger for myself, for my friends here at church, for Jigsaw, for my Bible study groups. I don't just want them to taste a little bit. I want them to taste and see that the Lord is good. The second point that Paul wants us to know is the hope to which we're called. Paul wants us to know that it's not a, "Oh, I hope so" hope. It's a confident hope in Christ. It's a hope that's confident in its calling, and it knows its heritage because it says in chapter 1, we are adopted, we are forgiven through Christ's death on the cross. The queen doesn't wake up each morning and wonder who she is. She knows who she is. She knows she's the queen, and she knows her heritage, and we know our heritage too. It might be that you need to spend time reading your Bible or even Googling it just to know who you are, to know your heritage. I recently applied for a job, and I was talking to my sister about the process of the interview, and I said, "It's a bit ironic, isn't it, that for the first time, you're allowed to sit in an interview and sell yourself and tell them how good you are, which doesn't come natural to some of us." But I then had this moment to think, actually, I am all of those things that Christ wants me to be. I'm loved, I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm precious, I'm special. And that's what I am, and that's what you are. And we need to know that, and we need to live in that. My final point is that we might know his incomparably great power. And that power is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And in my head, as I was praying, I was thinking, well, that's the same power that tore the curtain in two and made it go dark as Jesus died. But actually, it's much, much, much more than that. Jesus was clinically dead, though he was definitely buried for 3 days. And then God the Father released his power and raised him from the dead. And through Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, sin has been defeated. We are forgiven. And as Christ's children, we have been given that same inheritance. I've been mulling over the song. I think sometimes that God speaks to me through songs, and I get songs that come into my head. And there was a song earlier that Lisa may have spotted about "Call to Me and I Will Answer You." But this song is much more. I could sing it if I chose to, but I won't. But the song is, "Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, O death, has won." And then the other bit in the verse is, "Death has lost its sting." You know, through Christ's death on the cross, we can know forgiveness, and we can know that we are conquerors. And so through Christ's death on the cross, sin and death have been defeated. And we, as his sons and daughters, we are inheritors with him. Paul is saying that power is available to us to believe. Now that's more than amazing. That's quite an inheritance. God gives us a rich and glorious inheritance, an abundant eternal life, an inheritance that won't spoil or fade, and a hope on earth, a joy in heaven, and that's not a bad deal. What an amazing prayer Paul writes. I love his hunger and his enthusiasm for the church. I think as I look at these scriptures, I'm drawn back to the picture of a paddling pool that I mentioned at the beginning. Paul's desire for the church was, and for us here today, was and is that we live an abundant life through all that Christ has done on the cross, and that they and we live in the fullness of that relationship Christ wants to have with us, not just a quick paddle, but a proper swim. And as I come to finish now, and as Ali leads us in worship, I think we should take this opportunity to ask God to meet us here this evening, myself included. And as I prepare today, I genuinely feel that I couldn't stand up here and say that I don't need those things as well. So perhaps let's stand together. And let's just close our eyes. If you want to know God better and want to give him, and want him to give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation that you might know him better, perhaps ask him now. Perhaps open your hands to him. And if you want to know more of that hope that he has for us and more of his glorious inheritance, put your hands out to receive. And if you're standing here and wondering what on earth I'm talking about and don't know that hope and are feeling a little lost and perhaps your heart is racing, we'd love to pray with you and chat with you either now or after the service. And I'm just going to close in prayer now as we finish. Lord, we thank you that you long to give good and amazing gifts to your children. Thank you too that you want to have an amazing relationship with us. And so Lord, we ask now that you would open our hearts and our minds that we might know you more and know the hope to which you have called us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us now. We can know that hope to which you have called us. Amen.